Welcome to this episode of the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. The mission of the Greenville Oaks Church is to inspire people to follow Jesus, because we're convinced that following Jesus is the best way of life possible. Find out more about Greenville Oaks at greenvilleoaks.org and connect with us on social media. We would love it if you could rate and review our podcast. It makes it easier for others to find us. And now, on to this week's message with Lead Minister Wade Hodges.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back with you this week. Before I launch into today's teaching, I'd like to take a moment and spend some time in prayer over the terrible events we've been watching in Israel and Gaza this week. So please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, our hearts are broken by the events in Israel over the past week. We are horrified by the atrocities committed by Hamas. And we grieve the loss of innocent Israeli and Palestinian lives. We ask that you will move to thwart the plans of those whose hearts are set on doing evil. We cry out for your justice to straighten what is crooked, to set right what is wrong. We long for deep and abiding peace to come to all peoples in all lands. In Israel, in Gaza, in Ukraine, and in other parts of the world being ripped apart by violence and war. Lord, we acknowledge and freely confess that we do not have the wisdom or the ability to make peace in our world a reality. For if we did, we surely would. So we ask as followers of your Son Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that you continue to teach and show us how to be instruments of peace in a world filled with so much conflict. Until that day, when Christ comes and brings your peace, your shalom, once and for all. And it is in the name of Jesus we lift up this prayer. Amen. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing our series of messages from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, in which he is helping them and us discern what really matters, so that we can live lives that are worthy of the gospel. Before we get to Philippians 2, I'd like to take you on a brief detour and read to you some instructions for how to properly swing a kettlebell. Now, pay close attention, because there will be a test afterwards. This is how you swing a kettlebell. Take a natural stance with your feet shoulder width apart, knees bent slightly, and place the kettlebell between your insteps. Pick up the kettlebell with two hands while keeping your chest open and your back straight, maintaining your lumbar curve and a stabilized midline. Swing the kettlebell back between your legs, sitting back rather than down. Keep your shins nearly vertical throughout the exercise. Explosively snap through your hips to full extension, letting the kettlebell project upward. Lift dynamically using a powerful hip drive. Keep your arms straight and loose and use the power from your legs and hips. At the top of the swing, the arms and legs are straight and locked. The feet and body are stationary. The arms are level with the head or slightly behind the head. The core is engaged and stable and the head neutral. Look straight ahead at all times. Lower the kettlebell in one smooth, uninterrupted motion to swing between your legs in preparation for the next swing. Be sure to keep your core tight so the momentum of the kettlebell will not pull you out of position, jar your wrist joints, or stress your back. Now, that's all perfectly clear, right? I'm curious how many of you, based on these instructions, now feel equipped to properly swing a kettlebell so that your spine doesn't shoot out your back and ricochet around the room. Or maybe let's take one step back. How many of you know what a kettlebell is? Because these are accurate instructions. This is accurate information. This is a textbook description of how to properly swing a kettlebell. But it's not enough, is it? Maybe some pictures would help. Or perhaps a video. Or what about a live demonstration? Yeah, that's the ambulance is just outside the door, just in case. Because this is a kettlebell. And this is how you swing a kettlebell. First, you pray. And then you follow the instructions. This is a kettlebell swing. This is what those instructions were describing. Notice my heels are grounded. My back is straight. My chest is upright. Generating power with my hips, not my shoulders or my arms. This is how you swing a kettlebell. The kettlebell was invented in Russia. Yeah, it was the Russians. They came up with a Russian swing, which is shoulder height. But then the Americans, overachievers that we are, came up with an American swing, which is over the head. Mother Russia, Captain America. Man, this thing is slick. Hope I don't lose my grip. I should probably stop while I and you are still ahead. So, let's stand and sing while I catch my breath. Those of you who aren't applauding right now, how dare you come up to the stage. Swinging a kettlebell is a skill. And it's hard to learn a skill from reading a book or a list of bullet points. It is so much easier when you have someone who can provide a living demonstration, who can show you how to do it. And in a similar way, the Christian faith, it's not just a list of facts or bullet points to be discussed or memorized. It's not even a philosophy or a religion to be discussed in a group ad nauseum. The Christian faith is a way of life. It's a lifestyle built on a particular set of skills that generate observable behaviors. And in Philippians, what Paul is doing is reminding his friends in Philippi of this Christian skill set so that they can behave in a particular way, so that they can publicly conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And as we read through Philippians, we see that, among other things, this Christian skill set includes being able to discern what really matters and what doesn't so that we can live accordingly, so that we can invest our time and energy and our lives into the things that are of utmost importance and let the other things pass. That's a Christian skill. It also includes seeing our smaller stories in light of God's larger story, especially when we're facing adversity or when we're struggling, so that we can put what we're going through in context of this larger thing God is doing in the world. It includes being able to allow our suffering to draw us near to Christ, to more deeply identify with Christ, rather than letting suffering alienate us from God. It includes putting the needs and interests of others before our own. It includes doing everything, especially those things that come from putting the needs and interests of others above our own, without grumbling or arguing. The Christian skill set includes rejoicing in difficult circumstances, and it includes being content in all circumstances. All of these are acquired skills. They do not come naturally to the uninitiated. They have to be learned, and they have to be practiced over and over again until they become a habit. And rather than listing these skills as abstract bullet points, as I have on the screen, what Paul does is embed them in a series of examples that show what this skill set looks like in action. One of the core skills, maybe the most important one he emphasizes in this letter, so that the Philippians can maintain their unity and stand together as one, is being able to put the needs and interests of others above our own. This is core. And Paul takes the skill and wraps it in the story, his master story of Jesus Christ, who empties himself, humbles himself, makes himself nothing, takes the form of a servant, dies a shameful death on the cross for the sake of others. Paul says, have the same mindset. Follow the example then of Christ in your relationships with one another. Now, it's appropriate and it's inspiring to use Jesus as an example. Let's be honest, it also provides us with an escape route. Because we can always say, oh, I know, we're supposed to imitate Jesus. I know we're supposed to become more like Jesus. But Jesus was Jesus, the Son of God. He was perfect. Don't you think he had a little extra help? How can we possibly live up to that example? But then Jesus isn't the only example Paul uses, because he also weaves this skill set into his description of his circumstances and the way he responds to them. His positive outlook toward his imprisonment in chapter 1, and then, as we'll see next week, his changed attitude toward his religious accomplishments and heritage in chapter 3. Throughout the letter, Paul repeatedly says to his friends in Philippi, watch me. Look at my way of life, and I will show you how to live the Christ life. But again, we can always say, Paul, we know you want us to follow your example. But come on, man. You're Paul. You're not Jesus, but you're Paul, the apostle. You planted churches across the Roman Empire. You wrote nearly half the New Testament. You're an all-star. We can't keep up with you. How do we follow your example? But that's okay, because Paul uses other examples as well. In fact, in the middle of his letter, toward the end of Philippians 2, in a section that we might skip or at least skim over because he seems to be talking about specific details that aren't really relevant to us. He tells his friends in Philippi that he's going to send their way a couple of normal, everyday Christians whom they know and love. And these two Christian guys embody, they are live demonstrations of the skill set Paul is describing in his letter. So let's read what he says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Pay close attention, there will be a test after. For he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests. That's the natural, normal thing to do. Everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but not Timothy. You know that Timothy has proved himself because he has a son, as a son with his father. He has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. And he goes on, he says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome Epaphroditus in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Timothy follows Paul as Paul follows Christ. Timothy has learned the way of Christ from Paul. And so Paul says, you want to know what it looks like for a person to have the mindset of Christ? To embody the Christ life, watch my son Timothy when he comes to you. He'll show you how to do it. You want to know what it looks like to put the needs and interests of others before your own, even if it means risking your life for the sake of others and for the sake of the gospel? Then pay attention to Epaphroditus when he comes back to you. Watch him. He will show you how to do it. If following Christ is a skill set, then we learn it not just by reading a book, but by watching and imitating those who have been practicing the Christian skill set longer than we have. By watching and imitating those who know more about the Christian skill set, know more about following Jesus than we do. What really matters is having examples to follow. And so Paul says later in Philippians 3, verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. What a thing to say. Paul says, watch me, I'll show you how to do it. And if I'm not there, watch Timothy. He'll show you how to do it. And when Epaphroditus comes, watch him. He will show you how to do it. We need Christ-like examples to follow. And one of the benefits of being part of a community of faith like this one is we are surrounded by examples of what it looks like to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Our knowledge of what it means to be faithful to Christ, to faithfully follow Christ, comes not just from reading the Bible, but from being members of a community where we can read and discuss the instructions in the Bible together. That's good and important. But also where we can demonstrate for one another what following Christ looks like in real life. Now, rather than putting yourself on the level of the Apostle Paul and saying, "Hey, everyone, watch me. I'll show you what it looks like." That's not going to go over well if you do that. Paul may be able to get away with that. We can't. "Hey, watch me. I'll show you." No, rather, I suggest we flip the script. And instead, go to those in this church whose example inspires you and say to them, "Hey, I'm watching you." Now, don't be creepy when you say it. Because usually when we say, "I'm watching you," it's a negative. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. Why? I want to catch you doing something wrong. But this is a positive. "I'm watching you because I need someone to show me what the Christ life looks like in real life." It's not enough to read the instructions. We need models. We need examples. We need live demonstrations of the Christian skill set. And so, we're watching you. We're watching you. We're watching those of you who have been diagnosed with cancer to show us how, in the face of fear, to keep moving forward with courageous faith. And we are watching those of you who are caring for a spouse slipping into the fog of dementia to show us the meaning of covenant love. And we're watching those of you who have had your heart broken, devastated by a tragedy, to show us how we can hang on and keep showing up when grief overwhelms our hearts. And we are watching those of you who have ascended to the top of your profession to show us how to pursue excellence and compete honorably without compromising our values and our convictions. And we're watching those of you who have been blessed with more money than you know what to do with. We're counting on you to show us how to be generous out of our abundance. And we are watching those of you who manage to get by on very little at all. We're counting on you to show us how to be content with what we have rather than tormented by what we can't afford. And we are watching those of you who fail publicly. So we need you to show us how to surrender to the healing grace of God so that we can be put back together when we stumble and fall and hit rock bottom. We're watching you. We're watching each other because this is how we learn what following Jesus faithfully looks like. One of the most effective educational models is called watch one, do one, teach one. First, you watch someone else do the thing that you want to do. Watch someone else do the thing that you want to learn. Then you do it yourself. Then you teach someone else how to do it as they're watching your demonstration of it. You watch one, you do one, then you teach one to someone else who is watching. This is how the Christian faith, the Christian skill set is passed from generation to generation. We watch, we do, and then we teach those who are watching us. So who are you watching? Who are you watching? And what are you doing? And who is watching you? Let's pray. Lord, we know that as solitary individuals, we cannot possibly hope to replicate the life and teachings of Jesus. We know that by ourselves, we are not enough, and we have no shot of following Jesus' example. And so we thank you for bringing us together into this community, this body of Christ, where we can combine our gifts and share our faith and learn from one another. We thank you for the faithful witness of those who are ahead of us, showing us what it looks like to be faithful to you. And we ask, as we learn from their examples, that you would in turn turn us into examples that those who come behind us can learn from as well. Lord, thank you for giving us examples to follow. We ask that you fill us all with the Spirit that we need to be worthy of the gospel, to be able to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the message from the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. We hope this message enriched your life and can help you inspire others to follow Jesus, because we honestly believe following him is the best way of life possible. Be sure to connect with us online on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.